Good morning, and welcome to our worship service this morning. We'll begin with a prayer to our God and Savior. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, as we gather together today in your presence, grant that we might humbly confess our sins and rejoice in your love and grace. Open our hearts to hear the message from your word, and move us then to apply that message to our lives. In Jesus' saving name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Our first hymn for this morning is hymn 864. I invite you to follow along with our order of service as it's printed for you in your service bulletin. We begin our worship service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared. Since we are gathered to hear God's word, to call upon him in prayer and praise, and to receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our own unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ, and saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, he gives the power to become the children of God and gives them the Holy Spirit. May the Lord, who has begun this good work in us, bring it to completion in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. To God on high be glory, and peace to all the earth. Goodwill from God in heaven, proclaimed at Jesus' birth. We praise and bless you, Father, your holy name we sing. Our thanks for your great glory, Lord God, our heavenly King.
Almighty God, merciful Father, since you have wakened from death the shepherd of your sheep, your Son, Jesus Christ, grant us your Holy Spirit, that when we hear the voice of our shepherd, we may know him who calls us each by name and follow where he leads. We pray this through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. This third Sunday after Easter is traditionally Good Shepherd Sunday. So the theme of our scripture readings and our sermon today will be Jesus, our Good Shepherd. We begin with our first reading, which is Psalm 23. We'll read that responsively on the top of page 4. The Lord is my shepherd.
I shall not want.
He maketh me to lie down in green pastures.
He leadeth me beside still
waters. He restoreth my soul. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil.
For thou art with me, with thy rod and thy staff have comforted me.
Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies.
Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over.
Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life.
And I will dwell in the house of the Lord
This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our second reading is from 1 Peter chapter 2. We'll read verses 19 through 25. Glory to you, O Lord. These words were written by one of Jesus' sheep, Peter the apostle, a sheep who once himself strayed. And you hear him say that the Lord himself, Jesus, brings us back to himself as our good shepherd. Peter writes, "For this is commendable, if because of conscience toward God, one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. For what credit is it when you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently? But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in his steps. Who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness. By whose stripes you are healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls."
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. These things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
Please rise. Let's join in confessing our faith in the one true triune God with the words of the Nicene Creed, beginning on the middle of page 5. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Our congregation may be seated. We'll continue with our next hymn, hymn 710.
Thank you.
Please rise. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, dear fellow sheep of our Good Shepherd. The text for our meditation and application to our daily walk of faith is taken from the Gospel of John. We'll read from chapter 10, verses 1 through 11. These are the words of Jesus. He says, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Then Jesus said to them again, "Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep." These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. A certain pastor was calling in his sermon theme for the church notice in a local newspaper. And he spoke his theme to the secretary on the other line of the phone, and he said, "The theme is, the Lord is my shepherd." "Is that all?" the secretary asked. "That's enough," replied the pastor. You can imagine his surprise when he opened the Sunday newspaper and read his sermon theme, "The Lord is my shepherd, that's enough." Kind of funny, but it's actually very true. That pastor's accidental sermon theme is the sermon theme for us this morning as well. And that is essentially what David is saying in the 23rd Psalm, when he begins that psalm by saying, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want," or "I shall not be in want. I lack nothing. The Lord is my shepherd, that is enough." It's true. The Lord, our shepherd, Jesus, is all that we'll ever need. He's our maker. He's our provider, our protector, our guide, our savior. No one else can do, no one else has done, and no one else will continue to do what Jesus did and does and will do for you and me. Each one of us, by the grace of God, by the faith that he created in our hearts, can say, "For me, Jesus, our good shepherd, laid down his life. For me, he hung on that cross and took those nails, paid the price for my sins. For me, he died that I might live." And yet we also rejoice that if he was still a dead shepherd, it wouldn't do the sheep any good. If the good shepherd gave up his life and was killed by the wolf, what good would that do the sheep? So we also rejoice to say that my good shepherd lives. He rose from the dead for me, to destroy death for me, and assure me of my place in heaven with him on the last day. Later on in the same chapter of John, Jesus would tell his disciples that this was God's plan for salvation all along. He says in verses 17 and 18 of this chapter, "Therefore my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father." So that title of Jesus, the Good Shepherd, certainly fits Jesus perfectly. But what are we called in the Bible? Where do we fit in this illustration of Jesus? We are his sheep. That description fits us very well also. Unfortunately, it is not a very flattering illustration. I'd like to tell you that we are called the sheep in scriptures because we are so lovable, woolly, and cuddly. But that's not true. We're called the sheep because, as the Old Testament prophet Isaiah tells us, we are like sheep who have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. We human beings are a lot like sheep. We tend to have a mob mentality. We kind of think like the group. We will simply follow the crowd, even if it means something painful or destructive to us. We'll do it without thinking. We tend to be fearful, timid, extremely stubborn. And yes, oftentimes, like sheep, we are stupid. Especially when you consider the fact that, like sheep, we are some of the only creatures on this planet who need someone to take care of them, to guide them. Because by nature, we are self-destructive. We're hopelessly lost if we are left to ourselves. So like sheep, we human beings are dependent on having a good shepherd. Without him to protect us, to guide us, to show us where to go, to give us the good pastures to eat from, the good streams to drink from, we are simply lost. And yet, despite all of these bad characteristics, despite the undesirable comparisons that we have with sheep, we have the comfort and the assurance that even though we are sheep, we are his sheep. We are sheep of the good shepherd. We can't have it any better than that. So as his sheep, we can say, each one of us individually, that the good shepherd is my good shepherd. The one who guides me, cares for me, loves me deeply. Remember those words that Peter wrote? One of Jesus' own sheep, one of his closest sheep, who once went astray himself. He reminds us, for you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the good shepherd, to the shepherd, the overseer of your souls. Our good shepherd is the good shepherd because he made the ultimate sacrifice for us. In fact, that's what Jesus points to as the proof. He is the good shepherd. The last verse of our text, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. That saving sacrifice, that death on the cross for our sins, is the basis for that true, abundant life that we enjoy through our good shepherd. Many people, unfortunately, take that verse and misinterpret it or misapply it, even people who profess to be Christians. They make the mistake of taking that verse that says Jesus has come to give us an abundant life, and they make it refer only to the things of this life, physical, material blessings. Now, it's true that Jesus does bless us with those things, even beyond what we can ask for, beyond what we need. Who here only has their basic needs? We have much more than we could possibly want or need. But that's not what truly makes our life as his sheep abundant. As our good shepherd, he is looking out for and taking care of all of our needs and wants, especially those of our soul, so that we truly lack nothing. The Lord is my shepherd. That is enough. Do you have desires and needs in your life right now? Are you facing some insurmountable task or difficulty? Do you feel lonely, uncared for? Do you feel like you're lost in a sea of humanity? Well, Jesus knows all those things. He knows your needs. He knows it, and he cares about us. He cares about us and he wants to help us through each one of them because he knows us as his sheep individually and personally by name. And he knows us even better than we know ourselves. Listen to those comforting words from verses 2 and 3 of our text once again. The sheep hear his voice, the shepherd's voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. The voice of our good shepherd is the trustworthy voice of life and truth. His voice is the very voice of God himself that's found for us in the Bible. That's the voice we want to listen to. Not the voice of imposters or false teachers or the Pharisees of Jesus' day who, as Jesus put it, were thieves and robbers. They didn't come and enter the sheepfold by the way of the door, Jesus, and they proved exactly what they were after by what they said and taught and did. They came to those sheep to try and exploit the sheep, to get something out of the sheep. They were not looking out for the welfare of their souls. Not so with our good shepherd. Jesus didn't come to this earth and come to be our good shepherd to gain anything at all for himself. He didn't seek to exploit us, to gain some sort of earthly reward for himself, but instead he gave up everything, surrendered it all on Calvary's cross. As he says in the last verse of our text, the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. So listen to that voice. Listen to the voice of our good shepherd. Don't just listen to the voice of men like me who are his under-shepherds. Listen to his voice, the voice of the good shepherd himself. Get acquainted with it. Get to know what his voice sounds like by picking up the Bible for yourself. Listen and learn what he has to say to you about this abundant life that he's promised and given to each one of us. Listen and learn where he wants to lead you. In the paths of righteousness, for his name's sake. You know, for all of their undesirable traits, all their shortcomings and bad characteristics, sheep can be remarkably trained to hear and listen to the voice of their shepherd. And they can be trained to listen to only the voice of their shepherd. Shepherds have done experiments before between them and a neighboring shepherd where the other shepherd will take on the clothes of the shepherd who owns the sheep, and that other shepherd will try and call the sheep to him, and the sheep will not go to that other shepherd even though he's wearing the very clothes that the actual shepherd is wearing. But when the real shepherd calls his sheep wearing strange clothes, the sheep will come to him. In most cases, if a stranger tries to call the sheep will look up in alarm. And if the stranger tries to call again, do you know what the sheep will do? They'll attack. No, they won't attack. They'll run away. They'll run away. They'll flee from him, as Jesus says in verse 5. I don't know if sheep actually attack. They do run away. As the sheep of Christ's flock, we want to exhibit the same characteristics that Jesus mentions in our text. Verse 4 and 5 says, and when he brings out his sheep, he goes before him. He goes before them. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. No matter what society tells us, no matter what our teachers, our professors may try to tell us, no matter what our friends, our family, our parents, or even our pastors tell us. Even if our hearts and minds tell us, it's reasonable, this is good, this is fun, we should always ask, no matter who it is that's speaking to us, we should always ask, what does my good shepherd say? And then listen to him. Turn to his word and listen to his voice. He knows best, and he knows us best. He's the one who came to give us life, true life, abundant life. He came to give us a life that goes beyond this life and beyond the things of this life. Again, many people make the mistake of interpreting these words here in verse 10 that this abundant life that Jesus speaks of is only this life, the life that we live on this earth. But think about that. Could it really be a truly abundant life that Jesus promises if it only concerned the things of this life, of the things of this earth? No eternal life, no heaven to follow. Could that truly be an abundant life? And the answer is no. Think of those words of Paul that we read on Easter Sunday. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. If our hope is only in this life, it is not truly abundant. That's why Jesus' main purpose in coming to this earth was to save our souls, to give us everlasting life, a life that will not end in heaven. So we can thank God that Jesus gives us another illustration about himself in this section of John. He says, "Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep." He is our door. He is our entryway to eternal life. Again in verse 9, he says, "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. He will go in and he will go out and he will find pasture." The promise of heaven, of the eternal green pastures of joyful life in his presence, is what truly gives our life abundance. It is a life that is focused on and led by Jesus, our good shepherd, the one who safely leads us to the green pastures and living waters of his word. He is the one who leads us in the paths of righteousness and comforts us and guides us safely through the valley of the shadow of death in this life and even at life's end. And yes, we have the peace of Christ, our good shepherd, promised to us. "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." Again, aren't you thankful for that little word "all" in Scripture? Not some of the days of my life or most of the days of my life, but all the days of my life. But don't forget how David concludes that psalm with a reminder of the greatest blessing. "We will dwell in the house of the Lord." That is ultimately where our good shepherd is leading us. Not just to green pastures and still waters, but to the house of the Lord. Not just to live a more righteous life, or to experience financial freedom, or healing in our relationships, or just to have a life of purpose, or to live our best life now. No, David ends the psalm with those confident words based on the promises of our crucified and risen Lord, "And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." That is true, abundant life. A life with Jesus, the Good Shepherd. A life given to me by my Good Shepherd, your Good Shepherd. What more could you want? What more could I want? The Lord is my shepherd. That is enough. Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free Spirit. Amen.
Please be seated. An offering from our thankful hearts will now be received. Please rise. Are there any prayer requests for this morning? Let's join our hearts together in prayer. Dear Jesus, our risen Savior, you truly are our good shepherd, for you gave your life for us, your sheep. It was your great love for us who were lost and straying that moved you to come into this world to live, to die, and rise again, that we might have the life that has no end. Good Shepherd, we owe you heartfelt thanks and praise and our continual love and devotion for all that you have done and still do to ensure our earthly and eternal welfare. Dear Shepherd, by your continual presence, comfort and cheer us in every journey we must make through the dark, shadowy valleys of this life. Satisfy us with the green pastures of your word and nourish our faith there. Quench our thirst for righteousness with the refreshing streams of salvation. When we are oppressed at every hand by troubles, by distresses or temptations, by sickness or sin or heartache, when life seems too difficult to endure, Lord, teach us to turn our eyes of faith to you, our good shepherd, and to cast all our cares upon you. Answer our anxious cries, for only you know what is best for us. Refresh us with your help and your guidance, with your protection and your healing. Especially when we walk through the valley of death itself, be with us. Dispel the gloom that surrounds us with the bright promise of salvation, filling us with joy and confidence as one by one we journey from this life to heaven to be with you. Cause goodness and mercy to follow us the rest of our days as you have promised. Hear us, merciful Savior and Shepherd. Amen. You may be seated. We continue with our next hymn, hymn 722. Please rise. We'll continue with the service of the sacrament on the bottom of page 7 in your bulletin. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give him thanks and praise. it is truly fitting, right, and spiritually beneficial that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. We praise you especially for the glorious resurrection of your Son, the true Passover Lamb, who by his sacrifice took away the sins of the world, and by his resurrection restored everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and singing,
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of Sabaoth adored, heaven and earth with full acclaim, shout the glory of your name. Sing Hosanna in the highest, sing Hosanna to the Lord. Truly blessed is he who comes, the name of the Lord.
We give you thanks, O Lord our God, for the redemption you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ and his cross. Give us your Holy Spirit, that we may faithfully receive the blessings of forgiveness, life, and salvation that come to us in his body and blood. In his name we pray, as we join now in the prayer that he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
We'll continue with the words of institution. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink from it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of our Lord be with you always. Amen.
Holy Ghost Christ, true Lamb of God, you take the sin of the world away. O Jesus Christ, true Lamb of God, have mercy on us, Lord, we pray. O Jesus Christ, true Lamb of God, you take the sin of the world away. Have mercy on us, Jesus Christ, and grant us peace, O Lord, we pray.
You may be seated. At this time, we respectfully ask that those who are communicant members of St. Stephen Congregation or of a sister congregation in the Church of the Lutheran Confession come forward to receive the Lord's Supper. During the distribution, we'll be singing our next hymn, hymn 625.
Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given to death for your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you. For the forgiveness of all your sins. Now may this, the true body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen you and preserve you in the true faith until life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen.
Please rise. We'll continue with the singing of the Nunc Dimittis on the middle of page 10.
O Lord, now let your servant depart in heavenly peace, for I have seen the glory of your redeeming grace. A light to lead the Gentiles unto your holy hill, the glory of of your people, your chosen Israel. All glory to the Father, all glory to the Son, all glory to the Spirit, forever three in one. For as in the beginning is now, shall ever be, God's triune name resounding through all eternity.
Receive now with believing hearts the blessing from our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
We close with a hymn that you see printed in your bulletin on page 11, Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah. Please be seated. Good morning.
Good morning.
On behalf of our congregation, I'd like to welcome warmly our guests and visitors who are with us today. I invite you to sign our guest book in the entryway and invite you to come and worship our Savior with us again in the near future. A couple of announcements for this week. First of all, Wednesday we have our Board of Ed meeting at 6:30. We'll be meeting at Kirsten's Teacherage at 6:30. Next Sunday, our Bible class is at 8:45 and worship service at 10 a.m., so usual time for both of those. Check your mailboxes before you leave today. There is an April financial statement for St. Stephen and also a CLC Coordinating Council summary for the spring meeting. The Coordinating Council meets a couple times a year to help coordinate the business of our church body in general, so please keep those events and those that work in your thoughts and prayers this week. A reminder that if you'd like to help out with the 50th Anniversary Committee, please speak with our chairman, Paul Pelzel. And also, if you'd like to receive the Lutheran Spokesman, there's a sign-up sheet in the entryway with some details on it. Please sign and check that if you'd like a new subscription or a renewal subscription in the back of church. Are there any other announcements that I'm forgetting today? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.